So it's interesting that although the taxes were levied in the king's name, they also clearly benefited, in almost equal proportion, local elites in the province. And this tendency for more of royal taxation to stay in and accrue to the benefit of elites in the province is actually growing stronger between 1640 and the 1670s. I should add here, parenthetically, that these patterns don't simply apply to the province of Languedoc alone. They are fairly clearly national trends. Now, we don't have reliable national budgets for the French crown until the early 18th century. But if you look at the breakdown of the crown's expenses in the year 1706, there's a very revealing pattern. The total revenue of the French crown in 1706 was about 150 million pounds. But of this money, 18% of it, or about 27 million pounds, had already been anticipated in 1705, that is to say, already spent ahead of time. Moreover, another 41% of royal revenues were consumed by local or regional expenses and by interest payments. And of the entire sum of 150 million pounds, only about 40%, 62 million pounds, was actually disposable to the crown in the year 1706. So to look very carefully at where the money goes gives us a very different picture of how absolutism works in practice. It's clearly a system in which a lot of backs are being scratched and not just the king's. But I'd like now to turn from fiscal arrangements to political arrangements, because this revenue-sharing deal was really only part of Louis XIV's success. There was also an important political component to Louis XIV's success, and that was a kind of translation exercise. Louis XIV was really quite skilled at finding ways to express increased royal power in ways that were attractive to local elites rather than in ways that were threatening to local elites. And there are a number of aspects of this which I think are worth underscoring. The first of these is just simply regulating the troops better. The passage of soldiers through a rural district, especially the quartering of soldiers in village, was always an occasion for public disturbances, as we've seen in our earlier discussion of peasant revolts. Early modern soldiers were really badly behaved. They tended to destroy things, wreck furniture, outrage the local women, get into fights, beat people up, occasionally kill peasants, and so on and so forth. And it's not just that this was a public scandal, but the presence of troops in local communities also undermined the power of local elites. Local elites lost face if they couldn't protect their clients, if they couldn't protect their people. They couldn't retain their standing, their power in the community, if they were helpless to protect people from the depredations of the soldiery. Now, the personal rule of Louis XIV, that is to say, his personal rule instituted in 1661, brought major improvements to how troops were regulated in France. They tended to be better disciplined. The quartering of troops, the supply of troops, all of these things were better organized. Moreover, the provincial estates of Languedoc were actually allowed to appoint inspection agents who were sent around to prepare and oversee the process. So it's not just that better paid and better supplied soldiers were better behaved. It's also the fact that the image of local elites was burnished by the fact that they were given increasing regulatory authority over the royal troops themselves. Another classic way in which Louis XIV was able to increase his power while at the same time, in a sense, ingratiating himself to local elites was by repressing the Huguenots. And I think you'll recall from earlier lectures that the Huguenot population had always been particularly strong in southern France in provinces like Languedoc. It should be stressed that the Protestant population of France had been steadily declining for quite some time. There might have been a population of perhaps 1 million Protestants under Henry IV, about 1600. This had dropped to something like 765,000 Huguenots by 1660, with a further drop to something like 735,000 Huguenots in about 1680. Now, the political power of the Huguenot community had already been broken under Louis XIII during the 1620s. But Louis XIV, the son of Louis XIII, would up the ante by increasing the social pressure on the Huguenots. He banned them from guilds, he banned them from political office, he closed their schools, he limited the number of Huguenots who could even gather together, and he heaped countless indignities on the heads of the Huguenot population. Moreover, in the year 1681, Louis XIV would introduce an even uglier tactic, something called the Dragonnade. Now, of all the troops in the French army, the dragoons had a notorious reputation for the worst behavior of them all. And what the Dragonnade was simply billeting dragoons in the homes of Protestant families. They were deliberately targeted, the Protestants, that is to say, and the Protestant families were informed on no uncertain terms that if they were to convert to Catholicism, the dragoons would be withdrawn. But in the interval, it was made equally clear to the troops that a blind eye would be turned to their misbehavior. And this, which can only be described as a kind of low-level terrorism, these dragonnades, produced a dual wave of conversions to Catholicism and also emigration from Huguenots who just couldn't take it anymore and left France and went to other countries.